Let us pray. Grant, Lord, that we may see and understand what we read. For Jesus' sake. Amen. I want you to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 30. Matthew 12, 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now, I want to think of this passage like an aeroplane that you're looking down from. Modern aeroplanes go so high that you can only see clouds below you. But I've been on aeroplanes where you could see the houses like toys under you, and you could see the people riding on donkeys and camels way down, and little palm trees that look like tiny toy palm trees. Now we're going to have a look at the world we live in like that. First of all, it's full of dupes and slaves. That's a funny thing to say, but it's true. At the beginning of this passage, there was a man brought to Jesus, and he was completely blind, and he couldn't speak. Probably because he was deaf, I should think. That's normally the reason. Because when he was little, no one could teach him to speak because of his deafness and blindness. So he wandered around, a rather dirty little boy and a bit unloved, and he'd been all his life like that. Now they brought this man to Jesus, and Jesus healed him straight away. So the blind saw, and the dumb spoke. Now this man, who all his life hadn't been able to do these things, suddenly did it. All around us, everybody is like that. Because the Bible says there is a kingdom of darkness. And this world is in the grip of Satan, the king of darkness. And what he wants is to keep people ignorant and unable to pray with their lips and unable to see with their eyes. So they say, we know there isn't a God because we can't see him. But as God is a spirit, nobody has ever seen him. So that's not very clever, is it? They also say, we know that there isn't a God because the world made itself. Now, if I was to walk past a factory which made oyster watches, which are very complicated watches, which are sealed so you can dive, say, 50 metres under the sea in them and no water get in, and there was an explosion in the factory, and suddenly on my wrist, fastened there perfectly, was an oyster watch, everything in place and all working and set to the right time, do you think when the police came along they would believe my story that there was an explosion in the factory and the whole thing just happened and settled on my wrist? I don't think they would. I think they'd say, you can tell that one to the magistrate. Now, it's not very clever to say that there was no design behind this world. It works by laws. Physical laws. It works by, like a motor car works, by certain things have to be right. And if they're not right, then the car won't go. And certain things have to be right. And if you begin to think, it's most unlikely it made itself. Well now, these people are blind. They say, we can't see God, therefore there isn't a God. We are quite satisfied as we are. Are they? Then why do they drink like they do, till they knock their legs off themselves and end up under the table? People who are happy don't have to do that. Why do they take drugs? Happy people don't have to make themselves happy that way. Why do they get involved in all the dirty, nasty things they're involved in? Happy people don't have to do those things. You find a happy child, and they're not after getting involved in pornography and filthiness and all the other things that are going on. You find a happy man or woman, and they're not spending all their time saying, look, he's got more than me, and I hate him, and if I could get hold of him, I'd kill him. They don't think like that. Happy people don't have to behave like that. So this kingdom is full of darkness, unhappiness, blindness and prayerlessness. Now, when Jesus healed the man, That roused the politicians and the religious leaders. And the Pharisees, who were political and religious, and the scribes, got very angry. And they said, don't listen to him. This nasty man is only casting out demons because he's got the prince of demons in his heart. And they call the prince of demons a particularly nasty name. The Lord of the Flies, or the Lord of Filth, Beelzebub. And they said, this Jesus is a wicked, evil man who has in his heart a filthy thing which he's trying to foist on you by religion. Don't listen to him. Listen to us. Now, that's exactly what they're saying today. They say, if you listen to Jesus, then you will end up hating people and killing people. Oh, that's what they're saying. And doing everything that's nasty in the book, and not liking other people, and being a racist, and being everything else that's not pleasant, if you believe in Jesus. Well now, Jesus can answer any problem. He knows what you're thinking, and he could answer what you're thinking this very moment, and will do. So Jesus turned to them and he said, now he said, I'd like to show you something, he said. It's an absurd argument. Listen to it like this, he said. Supposing Satan comes along and finds his devil in your heart and throws him out, well, he's lost his kingdom. He's lost everything. And supposing Satan comes along and has a war with himself, well, all his kingdom will collapse. Supposing Satan doesn't back his servants, but punishes them by getting rid of them, well, there won't be any more kingdom for Satan. So, he said, you can judge it yourselves. Can a kingdom which is divided stand? It can't do at all. If you think of it, you take a kingdom like Iraq, which is heavily divided, it can't stand. All the time it's at war. Hundreds of thousands die in the war. They all hate each other. The kingdom is split between Basra and Baghdad and Kirkuk and all the rest. They're all split up and hating one another. Now, said Jesus, kingdoms don't manage like that. They end up with getting the Americans in to sort the matter out. It just doesn't work. So, he said, I'll ask you another question. Jesus is very good at asking questions, and his questions always bite. Now, he said, I'll show you that this is contradictory. Because, he said, you men talking to me say you can cast Satan out. Now, I want to tell you something. If you're ill and you have a terrible affliction, like your mind's gone and you've got bipolar, or you're so split in personality, if you're off drugs you might kill your own mother. If you're like that, what do you do? Well, you go to the doctors, and the doctors give you heavy sedatory drugs which you have to live on all the time, so that you live a sort of zombie life. Now, Jesus said, you men, your doctors, you give people this sort of treatment to get rid of Satan out of them. Now, he said, you claim that you can throw Satan out of somebody's heart, and your servants do it, your brothers in the faith. Now, he said, if you throw Satan out of people's hearts, then why are you condemning me for throwing Satan out of this man's life? Now, they couldn't answer that one, so they all shut up. Now, I'll tell you something. People hate the Lord Jesus. You see, our text, it said, either you're for him or you're against him. No one's neutral. In the last war, the Swiss were neutral, but in fact, they banked for the Nazis, and their banks were so full of the stuff stolen off the Jews that until the Americans quite recently said, we'll cut you out of trading completely in the United States unless you clean up your act, they wouldn't give the stuff back to the Jews. Being neutral is not being neutral at all. You see, Spain was neutral in the last war, but when Hitler died, General Franco in Spain put a black-edged notice in his newspaper saying that Hitler was the saviour of the human race and he greatly regretted his death. He wasn't neutral at all. You see, neutrality is a word. The Irish were neutral in the last war, but a clergyman who was before me in St. Luke's was a colport, that means he sold Bibles round Ireland with the Irish church missions, and he told me that in a port in Western Ireland one Sunday evening, he went down to the dock. It was a little bay with just a jetty, and he said there was a German submarine lying there and the whole crew refreshing themselves on the land, and the people were giving them all they wanted, fuel and everything else. And he said that Ireland wasn't really neutral at all during the war. You see, you can't be neutral. You can't be neutral. Either you're for Jesus or you're against him. And you have to choose. Now, these men were against Jesus. Why were they against him? Do you know why? Because they thought, if the people listen to Jesus, they'll turn against us. So we don't want the people listening, because the people, when they saw the miracle, got very undecided. And they said, is this the Christ? Is this the one we're expecting? It may be. We're not sure. And the Pharisee said, he's not. He's a wicked man and he's got Satan in his heart, this filthy lord of the flies in his heart. That's what they said. But you see, they said it because they were jealous. Now look, I want to tell you something. It's this. All the time you're being told things by the government, by the BBC, by the television, by the newspapers, by school, and what they're telling you isn't true. It's just not true. And the reason it's not true is they're jealous of Jesus. You see, even the communists in Russia had a special museum dedicated against Jesus. And they had a special 24-hour a day wireless station which 24 hours a day broadcast against Jesus. At the same time, they claimed Jesus was a communist and that he was the great communist. Well now, you see what? They hated Jesus. And everybody who followed Jesus, they put him in prison. I've talked in this town, I actually spoke to him at the end, an old Russian man and his wife who had been put in the most horrible psychiatric prison because he went on talking about Jesus when the communists told him to stop. And he was in a terrible prison. Dreadful. Now, I want you to think about this. It's impossible to be neutral. The people couldn't decide, and people today can't decide. When you say to them, do you believe in God? 70 out of every 100 say yes. If you say, do you believe in Jesus? Very few are prepared to say yes. If you say, do you go to church? Almost none of them say yes. And the reason is this. Because they're taught all the time that this Jesus is a wicked bad man who does things wickedly in order to get your money, get a control over you, and to run your life for you and spoil it by taking away the fun and the pleasure out of it. That's what they're continually saying. They say it all the time. And that's the message that's coming over. These wicked, bad people are preaching something to you which will spoil your life. Now, Jesus is wonderful. And he can answer everything. And he did. And he heals. When a person is healed, then they see things clearly. And what they see is this. Jesus has a kingdom, just like Satan has a kingdom. Now, Satan rules this world, but Jesus' kingdom has come into it. And Jesus is so powerful that he smashed Satan, and he said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. So Satan is on the earth, and he knows his time is short, and he knows that he's got a lot to do, and he's full of rage, and he's going around causing earthquakes, famines, diseases, murders, pornography, every filthy thing there is, and blaming it on Jesus. Now that's not right, is it? Jesus has come with a kingdom, and his kingdom shines light in. And when the light gets in, that bothers Satan. So when the light gets into someone's heart, they then know they have to decide. Am I going to follow Satan like all the rest of the world? Or am I going to make an absolute fool of myself and follow Jesus? You see, if you follow Jesus, people don't swear. And the moment a person who's at work doesn't swear, all the rest know that they're odd. And it, when you follow Jesus, you have to tell the truth. Well, everybody bends the truth a bit. So when a person really tells the truth, the rest say, oh, look at him, he's a bit scatty up there. He doesn't really know enough to be able to lie. And then when he does his full day's work without any shirking, they say, he's a goody-goody, and he's sucking up to the boss, and that all he's doing is just trying to get more money out of it in a good name. It's just how they talk. But you see, once the kingdom of Jesus comes in, you become good. How? Well, he does it like this. He brought in his kingdom by perfectly doing what God said. He never deviated one second from what God said. Never once in his whole life. And then he deliberately put himself in the power of these wicked men, and they gave it to the Romans, and he knew they would, and he said they would, and they beat him much more than you can imagine. Great thongs with leather and bone and metal worked into it to rip open a man. And they beat him like that till he was half dead. And then they made him carry a cross out to a place and crucified him. But Satan thought he'd won. But Jesus died the perfect sacrifice so God would accept him. And when God accepted Jesus' sacrifice, he died instead of you and instead of me. So his blood can take away my sin. I should have died because of the wrong I've done, but he died in my place. Now that is a very simple thing. So then we have a decision in front of us. Every one of us, every day, all the time. I can't be neutral in this. Who do I follow? Jesus and his kingdom of light, or Satan? Now I want to show you just one more thing and I'll end here. And that's this. Satan is very busy. He is indefatigable, we say. It means he never stops working. Do you know what he did to get his servants to oppose the Lord Jesus? He made them walk 100 miles from Jerusalem up to where Jesus was, and 100 miles back again, just in order to say those nasty words. They thought they'd come because they were very fine fellows. He knew very well that he was bringing them to stop the people believing. Now, take it from me, Satan won't take long to come down and take away every word that I've said today. He won't take long to go and get somebody to say the opposite. He won't take long to go and get somebody to try and get us to sin or do something nasty. He never stops. So don't imagine that just because you become a Christian, Satan stops bothering with you. He doesn't. He keeps it up. He's the busiest preacher in this land. He never stops preaching. He's the busiest person in this land, far busier than the Prime Minister or anyone else. He never goes to sleep, and he never stops watching you, and he never stops trying to get you back again once you've left him. He doesn't like people leaving his kingdom. So there you are. There's two ways, and there's an easy answer. Either one gives one's heart to the Lord Jesus, or one gives one's heart to Satan. One way is very easy and comfortable and ends up in eternal destruction. The other way is very hard and difficult, and it ends up in the kingdom of light, in all we've ever dreamed of, and much more, of happiness and peace and joy. Now those are the things that this passage teaches us, and may God help us to understand. Let